This is Vatican Radio. I'm Tracy McClure. A team of aid and development workers from the UK-based Catholic charity CAFOD has just returned from a fact-finding mission among refugees in Lebanon, calling for negotiations, not weapons, to end the conflict in neighboring Syria. World News officer Nick Harrop was among the CAFOD team who was taken around Lebanon to see Caritas Lebanon's response to the refugee crisis. He describes the conditions in which the refugees he saw living in Lebanon as dire.
The impression I got was that Lebanon was being incredibly welcoming towards these Syrian refugees, but the scale of the crisis is just unbelievable. There are more than a million Syrian refugees in Lebanon now, and the numbers are going up really fast. And it's a small country with a population of between 4 and 5 million, and it's really struggling to cope with these vast numbers.
You went to various places from the north, I believe, down to the south. What was the feeling that you got from these various different areas? Because we've seen up in the north, for example, in Tripoli, there have been many episodes of violence between Sunnis and Alawites and Shia, people who are supporting who are against the Syrian President Assad. And also we've seen similar tensions down in the south. What sort of feel did you get for the difference in these different areas?
Well, it did vary quite a lot. I mean, in Beirut, for example, it felt like the situation was pretty normal while we were there. It's a thriving city in many ways. But while we were there, there was fighting in Sidon, a port city, between Sunni and Shia militants who support different sides. And I think just generally there's a sense of tension and uncertainty about the future. There's a lot of pressure on the Lebanese economy. People are worried about the impact these refugees are having. And inevitably, I think that's leading to an increase in tension.
How generally do you feel that the population is concerned about this spilling over of the conflict in Syria into Lebanon?
Well, I think people are very concerned about what's happening in Syria. I mean, it's kind of hard to say how likely it is to sort of spill over into a full-scale conflict in Lebanon, but there's definitely an increase in tension. And we went to Tripoli, and you know there were shootings there the day we were there. So there's a real sense that there needs to be peace urgently, really, or the whole region could be destabilized.
Give us a sense of what you saw in these various places. In Tripoli, for example.
Well, in Tripoli, we met a family who were living in a half-built apartment block. There were seven of them sharing a single room. But what I found inspiring, really, was how they were trying to adapt to their new life there. They'd lived in a farm which had been bombed back in Syria, and the children all loved animals. So the mother and father had bought a chicken and a duck for the children to play with. They were really trying to keep life as normal as possible for their kids. And it was amazing, really, to see the way that people were trying to make the best of these terrible conditions they find themselves in. And in that, they're supported amazingly well by Caritas Lebanon, who are just a wonderful organization providing food, blankets, mattresses, healthcare, and really importantly, psychological counseling, including for children who've been traumatized by what they've seen.
You know, I told you earlier that I have came back from a trip over there with Caritas Lebanon back in April. And one of the things that I was really surprised about was the fact that many of these refugees coming from Syria have to pay rent in these places. Did you find the same sort of situation?
Yeah, there were Syrians having to pay rent, and often in, you know, the rent was very hard for them to afford. One thing I hadn't realized was how expensive Lebanon is compared to Syria. Some of the refugees told me that everything was five times as expensive. So even people who came across to Lebanon with savings are finding that money is rapidly running out. And I asked most people I met, you know, what their hopes were for the future. And almost all of them said, we're trying not to think about it. We're trying not to think about the future. We're just getting by day by day.
Now, I know you also went to the Bekaa Valley on the border there with Syria. We've also seen tensions there, occasionally rocket fire and so on across the border. But that is a home to huge camps of refugees. Well, where did you go and what did you see?
We went to a kind of smaller makeshift camps, often meeting refugees who'd quite recently come across the border. And, you know, the atmosphere in some of these camps was people were very tense. They were kind of really frightened, not knowing what the future held. Probably the worst conditions I saw were six families sharing a relatively small cow shed. So 30 people crammed together in really cramped conditions. There was a leaky sewage pipe going through this cow shed, and conditions were really appalling. And I spoke to a 15-year-old boy there called Hassam, who had to drop out of school 2 years ago because his school was bombed. And he said his dream for the future was becoming a lawyer because he wanted justice for his family. But at the moment, he's stuck in a foreign country. He's got no immediate prospect of getting back into education. And there's a real danger of just there being a lost generation. So it was very, very sort of moving to see people kind of trying to cope and trying to make the best of these terrible conditions.
You talked about the Lebanese being very welcoming, yet at the same time, I've talked with people, and though they don't hardly want to admit it, many of them really resent the fact that the Syrians are there. After all, Syria occupied Lebanon for more than 20 years after the civil war there. And so many Lebanese that I spoke to were really resentful of the presence of the refugees, you know, saying they stole from us. We've, you know, given them so much. They put us in prison. And, you know, now why should we be helping these refugees? Did you ever get a feeling like that?
Well, I got the sense of tension, of people being really worried about, you know, the fact that there were all these refugees who crossed over. It was putting an enormous pressure on jobs. People said, you know, Syrians will work for less money, and that means that they're taking our jobs. But given the scale of the refugee crisis, the fact that there are a million refugees in this small country, I was actually quite surprised by how welcoming and positive and compassionate people were. I mean, we saw small acts of compassion almost everywhere we went. At one Caritas center in the Bekaa Valley, we met a woman who'd found two Syrian children sleeping on the street, and she'd taken them in and was taking them to Caritas to try and get more support. So, yes, I mean, there's definitely tension and definitely a sense of, you know, anxiety about the future, but I was amazed, really, by how welcoming and compassionate people were.
You also saw, I believe, some areas in Mount Lebanon, which is the Christian heartland of Lebanon. What did you see there, and is it mostly Christians who are harboring in that area?
We met a mixture. Yeah, we met Christians who were staying in a sort of convent, a sort of recently built convent, and I think the situation for them is the same as for everyone else. They've been caught up in the war. They desperately want peace. And even when they have, you know, savings that they brought over from Syria, that money is running out very fast. And like almost everyone we spoke to, they fear a rise in extremism. I think it's something that's affecting the entire population of Syria and the entire population of Lebanon. And Christians are certainly, you know, very much among that.
Now, you're from CAFOD. How is CAFOD working in communion with Caritas Lebanon to try to reach these people, to try to help meet some of their needs?
CAFOD is supporting Caritas Lebanon, who, as I said, are providing food and clothes and healthcare. And their teams of social workers go out and locate Syrian refugees and find out where they're staying. They do a lot of excellent outreach work. And I think that the counselling they do, the psychological side of it, is just so important. And some of the Caritas staff I spoke to said, you know, we've lived through wars. We know what the impact is of suddenly losing your home. So I think they really prioritize that kind of social side of it, just making sure that children who've seen their parents killed or their homes destroyed have got some space to kind of deal with those feelings or at least kind of start to, you know, be able to explore what they're going through with trained professionals. So, yeah, CAFOD's supporting Caritas Lebanon in doing that. And we're also supporting partners in Jordan, Turkey, and inside Syria itself.
Every time when I went to a place there in Lebanon and met refugees and spoke with the Caritas workers, I'd say, what do they need? And the answer was always, they need everything. If you had to put your finger on some one thing or several things that the refugees need, what would that or what would these things be?
Well, I mean, people talked about being desperately worried about running out of money. They talked about often having only arrived in the clothes they were wearing and needing more clothes. Healthcare was a great worry, especially for small children. But more than anything, what they need is peace. I mean, what there needs to be is peace negotiations as soon as possible, because the situation is completely unsustainable at the moment. And really, you know, the international community has to come together and promote peace urgently.
Did you get a feel for what people think about that so-called peace process, which really hasn't even begun?
Yeah, I mean, I asked most of the refugees I met what they thought the international community should do, and they all said, you know, push for peace. I think people don't see immediately how peace is going to happen, but it's negotiations are the only way this conflict can end.